You know, I hold my breath every time.
Yeah.
I'm hoping we did it right. All righty. Well, listen, welcome to everybody. This is the LHON Live conference call. And this is a, well, before I get started, I think I'm going to go ahead and mute everyone. Jeff, you know what to do is to press star 7 to unmute yourself.
Yep.
Jeff is our guest. So I'm going to go ahead and mute everyone just so we have a clear line here for the introduction and for our guest speaker. So you all just hang tight. You all don't have to do anything, but just give me a minute.
The conference has been muted.
Okay. All right. So, Jeff, when you can, press star 7. All right, so let's get going here. My name is Maria Johnson, and I am one of three hosts of the LHON conference call that we have every month. This call came to be a few years back when Jessica, Andy Marks, and myself, Jessica Loomer, and myself met for the first time. I believe it was at the second conference, and it was such a great connection, and we just thought there had to be more ways that we could stay connected, you know, between conferences, you know, other than Facebook and email and things of that sort. And the idea of a conference call came up, and we took it, made it happen, and it's been going ever since. It is a call that is recorded so that you are able to listen to it at a later time or send links to family and friends to listen to. This call is mostly for hearing other people's stories, information, maybe advice, and just all-around fellowship between those of us who are carriers or affected in the LHON community. These voices you hear, a lot of them are the names you might see on Facebook, so it's always nice to have a voice to a name. On this call, we do not talk about clinical trials, the latest and greatest medicine, you know, homeopathic or holistic healing, nothing like that. We're not experts in those fields, and we leave those to the professionals. So any of those questions, I will have to let you know that we won't be answering those if somebody asks one. Not being rude, it's just one of our rules. So tonight we have my one host is Andy on the line. Oh, I'm by myself. Oh, he might be muted. Sorry. Andy Marks and Jessica Loomer. Jessica may not be on the line tonight, but Andy Marks usually is. So he might be on, but I've muted him, so he can say hello later. All right, so let me get to introducing our guest speaker. Tonight we have Jeff Fulliger, who lives in Chesapeake, Virginia. And Jeff has been affected for over 30 years. And the cool thing about Jeff is that he just kind of came on the scene, I would say, the beginning of June of this year. And I will let him tell his story and kind of where he is now and today with his technology and his appreciation for the community. So, Jeff, are you unmuted?
Yes, I am.
Oh, awesome. Well, thank you again for coming on the call. Jeff and I have already spoken a few times, and I'm really, really excited for you to be on the call, Jeff. Being so new into the community, I appreciate you stepping up and being a willing participant. So, why don't you take us back to your early 20s when you were a young man in the military and try and let us know how things were going back then and how you started to realize there was something going on with your vision.
Well, I was it happened back in 1986, of August of 86, right around my birthday. And I was 21 years old, getting ready to turn 22. And I was stationed in the Navy over on aircraft carrier over in Japan, and I noticed we were in dry dock at the time, and I started to notice my eyesight was getting blurry in both eyes. So I went to the eye doctor on the ship, and he goes, "Well, there's nothing we can do for you." So they sent me to the eye doctor on the base, and they go, "Well, we don't really have the facilities to test your eyes. We see something we don't like, but we're not sure what it is." So I had to go get an MRI done, a CAT scan, out in a Japanese hospital, and I brought back the results, and they go, "Well, each picture shows a dark spot on your brain. He goes, either you have a brain tumor or you have a shadow on your brain. He goes, we're going to send you to Clark Air Force Base in the Philippines. So I was there for about a month, and they did a few tests, and they go, well, we don't know what's wrong with you. So they sent me to Triple Army Medical Center in Hawaii, Honolulu, Hawaii, and I was there for a month, and they did every kind of test, CAT scan, a spinal tap, everything you could think of, blood work. And they go, we think we know what's wrong with you, but we're not 100% sure. So we're sending you back to stateside to Bethesda Naval Hospital. And I was there for a month, and that's where they have the whole eye clinic for the military. And that's where they determined what I had. But they were 99.9% sure that's what I had was LHON. But they weren't 100% sure because they said when I came in the military, my eyesight was fine, and nobody in my family's ever had it. So they couldn't 100% say sure it was a hereditary disease. So I said, all right. So I got discharged from the military. I went back to New York to live and open up my own business. I owned an ice cream store. And I worked in an ice cream store before I went to the military and before I lost my vision, so I knew what to do. And my help with my family, they did all the book work and all the stuff I couldn't see to do. And then I sold it in 1999 and moved to Virginia. And there's more military benefits for me to down here and more doctors. And so I came down here to Chesapeake, Virginia, and I still had never met anybody with LHON before. And I think it was spring of last year, my sister did a lot of research with her son has the same genetic markers as I do. And they found out that she told the eye doctor, his eye doctor, about my condition. So she was doing a lot of research, and she got in contact with Lissa. And so I got a hold of Lissa and talked to her, and that's how I talked to Wayne in Florida. And long story short, I went to the conference. Best thing I ever did in my life. I mean, I met Marie up there. I met so many people up there, and it was just like I had never met anybody with LHON before. And now I met all these people, and I could it would just open my eyes up literally, and I could talk to people about my condition and to hear their stories. It was great.
Well, tell us what that was. Like, anticipating that you're going to go to this conference, you don't know really anything about the community, and that you're going to meet others who have been living the same life, as you. I mean, it was probably excitement, nervous. What were these people going to be like?
It was a wide variety of emotions. It was excitement. I was a little nervous. I didn't really know what to expect. It was the knowledge of everybody. I mean, I talked to Wayne. Wayne said, well, you got to get yourself an iPhone. I mean, I said, why? He goes, well, there's so much you can do with an iPhone. And he goes, you have to go on Facebook. And I said, okay. And so in January of next year and a month from now, I'm going to a school in Arizona through the VA where they're going to teach me how to use an iPhone and an iPad and different devices, and then when I get done with the school, they're going to send me home with an iPhone and an iPad and all this technology that's going to better my life. I can, see to do different things. So
yeah, that's going to be amazing.
It is. It's very. I'm looking very much forward to it. And my advice to everybody out there is if you can get devices or if you can go to a school to learn Braille or, iPhone or iPad or anything a Victor Stream Reader that does talking books or if you have a computer and you can do Zoom Text or JAWS, by means, go for it, because it's only going to better your life. It's the quality of life. And as far as, Maria gave me some good advice at the conference. I don't know if anybody ever goes to the movies. But there's headphones you can wear that will help you listen and understand the movie better while you're watching it. And I've gone to the movies and I use this and I go, I called Maria up. I said, thank you for all. It was wonderful.
It's the little things. It's the little things. But, you know, when I was speaking to you and your wife, Renee, I don't know how it came up about movies. And you both just kind of looked at each other and said, we don't go to the movies. You know, how can I go to the movies? And I'm like, oh, you can go to the movies.
Right.
So, you know, and I've only been to the movies twice in the last 4 years because I didn't know in the beginning either. But that's the beauty of, you know, meeting other people in the community is sharing the knowledge from folks who have been affected or, you know, a little bit more knowledgeable in technology. They pass that along. They pay it forward and they pay it backward, if that
right.
makes sense.
May I interrupt for 1 second?
Sure.
I apologize. Forgive me. I didn't mean to step on you.
Who's this?
Well, I'm sorry. This is Howard Adelsberg.
Hi, Howard.
For those of you that may be listening, I live in New York. I live on Long Island, and I was recently diagnosed with LHON within the past 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 60 years old, and I'm an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
So everything has had to go on hold for me right now. But
mm-hmm.
going back to the topic about the school for the iPad and the iPhone, the New York City Public Library gives free courses on the exact same stuff.
That's awesome.
Where I found this out myself, because I'm trying to see how I could get back into practice since everything's had to be, everything went abruptly. But
mm-hmm.
they have courses on Braille, courses on how to use the computer, the courses on using the iPhone and the iPad. All of that is free of charge. If you want, talk later after the presentation.
That would be great. Thank you, Howard. That's fantastic. I mean, that's wonderful. Thank you so much. And by the way, we have a few lawyers in the group, so definitely need to get you connected with them. But Howard, thank you so much. Jeff, you know, obviously, you seeing everyone using their iPhones and iPads at the conference. I mean, you know, we can't live without them. I mean, it just really does open up your world. And as you saw, quote unquote, everyone, you know, had their face in the iPhones or double tapping and voices and it's talking and the whole thing. And,
right.
and you know, it is. And those, again, we were even learning new things and new techniques on the iPhones from everyone else. Now, I want to step back and say one thing. The LHON conference, it's more than just, you know, meeting friends. It is an amazing conference with lots of doctors and scientists and about employment and all kinds of great stuff. So it's a wonderful a plethora of information besides meeting people that you have been hearing or seeing on Facebook. You know, it is a highlight for sure. So I don't want to discount the program that Melissa Poinsano and I, you know, her sidekick, help put together. We've got even more people on the team this year. So, but Jeff, one other thing, a lot of people aren't on Facebook and you weren't on Facebook. How has getting on Facebook changed the way you interact with folks, meet friends, family, and people in the community?
Well, I go on, you know, Facebook, and I can read different people have different ideas. Like, for example, I was talking, you know, I met Wayne, and talking to him on Facebook, and I go, well, he asked me how I brush my teeth. I go, well, with a toothbrush. And he goes, no. He goes, how do you put the toothpaste on the toothbrush? I go, well, you know, I just, you know, put it on there, and hopefully I don't miss, and most of the time I don't. And he goes, well, I got an idea for you. He goes, just get your own tube of toothpaste, just squirt it in your mouth, and you'll never miss. I go, that's a good idea, and just different ideas like that, and bounce, you know, like, you know, that,
yep.
And then, you know, and, you know, just meeting new people, asking, you know, different people about what they can see and what they can, you know, their color vision. Is just, you know, it's interesting meeting new people on Facebook all the time, every day, meeting new people, so.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, having the Facebook groups is so great because, you know, that is one way to have a support group, if you will, online. And, you know, there's not, you know, you can't really pull together a support group in any one place, because maybe there's two or three people, but not really enough for a real life support group. So
right.
The different groups and the different state, the groups we have for states and sections of the U.S. and Australia and Canada, you know, they really do serve a great purpose. And if any of you listening have family members who are affected or carriers, you know, please let them know that we have quite a Facebook community, and it's really, really helpful with wonderful information and, again, just meeting other people and hearing their stories and advice and things. Well, that, Jeff, it seems that you we need to thank your sister for finding.
Well, my sister was big. She was supposed to be listening tonight. I don't know if she's online or not or on the call. I told her about it. She said she was going to try to listen. But
cool.
Her name is Lisa Kelly from Albany, but I don't know if she's listening or not. And
well, she's probably muted right now, so we'll know soon enough.
And anyway, I wanted to tell the group that emotionally how I handled this after 3 months after the doctors came into my room. So it was the Naval Hospital, and they looked at me and they go, well, your 95% chance your vision will stay the same. If it gets any better, it'll be 5% chance it'll get better within the first 2 years, and it'll never get any worse. I said okay, and they looked at me and they go, you understand what we just said? You're going to be blind or legally blind the rest of your life. I said okay, where do we go from here? And their jaws almost dropped. They go, well, 99% of the people we tell that to either get really depressed, or, you know, they try to commit suicide, you know, they break down and cry, or they, you know, they just emotionally, they can't handle it. And I looked at him, I said, well, if I do that, that's only going to add one more problem onto the situation I already have. I said, you know, and the way I've always handled this every day is there's always somebody worse than I am out there. You know, there's people out there that have no vision. There's people out there in wheelchairs, there's people amputees, there's people that are paralyzed. I said, I have to learn to deal with what I have and go on, you know, just hit it on, you know, full force and go on with my life.
Yeah, yeah. And what do you, anything come to mind of what may attribute to having that kind of attitude towards it? Do you think
I think that part of it was my military, I shouldn't say training, but my military background where, you know, they just, you know, basically instilled every day, like, you know, just you have a new goal every day or you're doing something, just go on, you know, what you have and, you know, don't ever look backwards, look forward. Just, you know, keep on,
yeah.
You know, looking to the future, so.
Keep on keeping on.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, and that's very true. The emotional toll is very different for everybody. And like yourself, Jeff, there are folks that just get the diagnosis and go, okay, what's next? And they're, you know, they're off to get training or they're, you know, making accommodations at work. But there are other folks on the other end of the scale, like you said, who have a really, really difficult time coping with the thought of losing their vision and living blind the rest of their life. And, of course, there's everything in between. But,
right.
You know, your attitude probably, you know, it really helps propel you forward, I imagine, and just, you know, see what the next task was and what the next day brought. And, you know, now tell me, after you got out of the military and you were working, so along the way somewhere you met your wife. Can you tell us how you met your wife?
Well, this is my second marriage. I met my first wife in New York, and we were married 10 years. We got divorced, and I lived by myself for 3 years in Chesapeake. And I had gone in between those 3 years. I went to New Haven, Connecticut through the VA hospital. And did computer training. I had never touched a keyboard in my life. Within 4 days, I was typing. And I can't see I can see the keyboard, but I can't see the keys at all. And there's like the F and the J button. There's a bump on there. And that's how I feed off of the rest of the keys.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I went to training for, it was like a five-week class. And when I got done, they sent me home with a brand new computer. Well, make long story short, I went on to dating site, whatever, and that's where I met my wife. And we've been married. I think we've been married almost 14 years.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
So,
well, hey,
she was at the conference with me, and she's been learning a lot with me. She's my rock, and she's a doll. And, there's things I can't do. I can't cook, this, that. But, I help her out. Whatever I can do, she makes me do it. So.
Well, they say behind every good man
is a good woman.
That's right. Blind or not.
You got to tell everybody about our secret. We're both Leos, and we both have the gift of what?
Gab.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I forgot I was supposed to warn everyone. We're both Leos. We're actually, your birthday's the 12th of August, mine's the 13th,
right.
And we both love to talk. So we actually had to pull ourselves off the phone a couple of days ago. Said, I better warn everybody because this could be a really long call with two Leos on the line. But, who knew? But, Jeff, thank you for sharing with us. And, I don't know if you heard, but your wife is a doll, and she was wonderful at the conference. And, it does take a really strong person, be it a boyfriend, girlfriend, significant other, husband, wife, whatever, to be there to assist, adjust, support somebody who is, already has vision loss or is going through vision loss. I mean, because we have all stages of it, in the community. So, but what I want to do now, Jeff, is I want to go ahead and ask if anybody has any questions for Jeff, anything about his training with the VA, working or anything about his training that's coming up.
Well, I forgot to tell you, I am working at the moment. I'm working at a DAV, Disabled American Veterans thrift store, and I work in the warehouse. I don't drive the forklift. They won't let me drive the forklift, but I do a big variety of tasks, and keeps me busy, keeps me out of the, gets me out of the house and
out of trouble.
I work about 30 hours a week, and I love it.
Wow, that's great. Did you say 70?
About 30 hours a week. But anywhere between 28 and 30 hours a week.
Oh, my gosh. I thought, that's a lot. speaking of driving a forklift, before I open it up, we both of you and I talked about the last time we drove.
Okay.
And you said the last time you drove is probably something, not a lot of people could say. So
I was in the Navy. I was an aviation ordnance, and I built bombs and missiles and rockets right before I went into the hospital, or right before my eyesight started going, one of the last deployments I went on, our aircraft carrier, the USS Midway, pulled into Subic Bay in the Philippines, and we were doing a huge weapons exercise at the bomb range or whatever. And we had built like 30 or 40 500-pound bombs, and we had to take them down to the down to the aircraft and down to the runway. And so that my chief goes, or my officer goes, well, can you drive, do you have a license? I go, yeah. You go, well, I'll drive these down to the runway. And that was the last thing I ever drove, was a pickup truck full of 2,500 pound bombs.
Yeah, again, I don't think anyone else can say that the last time they drove, they were driving, 3,500-pound bombs.
Yep.
So,
and crazy.
You and I discussed that you were, by the time you had gotten back to the States and all, that was when you were being diagnosed. So there was never another chance to drive when you, got home, if you will.
Nope.
So, yeah, that's a good one. Again, nobody else can claim a good story like that. all right. So if anyone has any questions for Jeff, or if anything he has said, rings a bell in your head about something you want to bring up, or if you're new and you have a question that you just want to throw out there, please feel free to unmute by pressing *7. We're going to try this first and see if you guys can unmute those phones and feel free to make some comments or get in on the conversation.
Jeff, it's Lissa, and it was great to hear your story again. And one real quick thing, would you tell people what happened when you came to San Diego and toured the Midway?
I sure will. I came to the Midway, I think it was like 2 or 3 years ago, and I hadn't been on board the Midway since I left it in 86, and in 1986. And my friend and I, we were both stationed on there, and we came on board the Midway, and the guy met us on the hangar bay, and I go, wow, this is, you know, it hasn't changed. And so I said, well, there's a, my office I used to work at, my shop or office, was straight ahead. I go, can we go over there? And he goes, can we get in there? He goes, well, it's padlocked. It's never been opened before or since 1986. I said, or 87, whatever, when it got decommissioned. I said, okay. So he unlocked it. First time it's ever been unlocked since 87. And he opened it up, and there was my chair. I sat in when I worked on the Midway. So I sat in, and I go, wow, it brought back a lot of memories. And he goes, here, take as much time as you want. And, but it was just brought back a flood of memories.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it did. It was kind of emotional, too.
It was very emotional.
That is so cool.
Yep.
Oh, Lissa, thanks for suggesting that. I hadn't heard that story yet, so I'm
going to Oh, no, I had told Lissa about it. I hadn't told anybody else about that, but...
Oh, well, thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah,
no, I think that's great. That's fantastic. You know, the Midway is now a museum here in San Diego, and
right.
It is... I have done many a school field trip there, so I'm quite familiar with it. But that is so cool. I love that. Anybody else? Star 7, and I can open up the lines for you.
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
Hi, I just got a question for Jeff.
Yes.
Sure, who's this? What's your name?
How long have you introduce yourself. Oh, my name is Bill. I'm from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
Oh, hi, Bill, thank you.
I have a question for Jeff.
Yes.
Yes, go ahead, Bill.
How long have you had this condition?
I got it in 1986. I've had it for 31 years. I was 21, 22 years old when I got it.
Okay, my issue is I was having issues, and finally March 2nd, I had to quit driving and stop my job. I'm 67 years old, and it took from March 2nd to November 6th, and they finally diagnosed it as a genetic situation. 10 ophthalmologists. I live in Canada. Canada, we don't have smog. We have smug. And our medical things aren't as good as they are in the USA. And anyways, I'm living in this thing now, and it's really tough.
Yeah.
So
Have you been to an ophthalmologist yet?
10 ophthalmologists, 3 neurologists, dental techs. The biggest problem is... the emotional side.
Yeah,
right.
It's hard.
I'm trying to cope.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, my suggestion is, you know, if you're having a hard time with yourself, you know, talk to, there are people out there you can talk to. Like if you have if you're a spiritual person, you can talk to a minister or a priest, or if you can talk to a psychologist or another family member that, you know, you can, or if you're close to, you can talk to, or, you know, there are people out there you can talk to that can give you a hand.
Oh, I'm always looking. I'm going to this group session, and the people there are way worse than I am because, you know, my blindness is really hard to cope with. And
Bill, are you on Facebook, Bill?
No. I'm getting an iPhone tomorrow, but it's my fourth time to the Apple Store.
It won't be the last.
I know. Oh, geez. Just hoping to get my password down this time. This is really good. I'm sorry. I'm starting to choke up a bit.
Totally.
I got to go.
Bill.
But Jeff, I wish I was in the military for the discipline that gives you people. Because everybody I know what's in the military, they get through. Anyways, I don't know how the military's got anything to do with your eyesight, but my gosh, you seem to be doing pretty good, Jeff.
I try. I mean, I've had my moments. you know, where it's hit me, but, you know, I try not to show it, and I try to be strong for myself plus other people, so.
Yeah, well, I'm sort of kind of choked up. Must be the cold
That's
weather
fine.
Here.
Yeah,
Bill,
anyway.
Bill, this is Lisa. Yeah. I don't know if you're on our email list, but if you aren't already on the email list, if you wouldn't mind just sending me an email at lhonpoince@aol.com, just so I can make sure you're on our mailing list. It would be great. Feel free to send me an email, and maybe I can help you connect with some people that might be able to provide some support.
Well, this is my first time here, and the thing I've learned from this, you're not alone.
No,
how did you find out about this, Bill?
My wife, she was surfing the Internet, and this whole thing, well, this whole thing has been a mystery because it couldn't diagnose my problem. And then on November the 6th, they got a hold of me and said, you've got a genetic thing, and God knows what gene and what other gene, but
there's a number.
Sorry. The whole thing.
You're not, anyway. Go ahead, Lisa.
I was just going to say, if you can have somebody, or if you can have someone get an email to me so I can contact you, you know, just ask someone to email me. And this is going to be recorded, so if you listen again, it's lhonpoince@aol.com, or however you or someone found this event, just reach out to me and I can help make connections for you.
I can't read the computer, but my wife just said, can you give the address one more time, and we're going to get on top of these things.
Yes, have her contact me. It's lhonp. So it's poince@aol.com.
Okay.
Just have her write me there, and I'll help you both make some connections. There's some specialists for this in Canada. I can help connect her with for you, and maybe that would help.
Great. No. First time listener and first time emotional person.
Yeah, this,
and then
Bill,
this
is Marie.
This is Wayne.
Go ahead.
This is Wayne,
go ahead, Wayne
in Florida, and there's many people on here that'd be more than willing to talk to you.
Are you from Virginia?
No, I'm Jess from Virginia.
Oh, yeah, because I got
Wayne from Florida.
Oh, Wayne from Florida.
My relatives from Virginia passes on to me, so there must be something wrong with the soil there.
Bill.
We'll leave that alone. But
Bill, this
thank
is
you.
Howard
thank you very
from
much.
New York.
I'm sorry?
Bill, this is Howard from New York. What kind of computer do you have, a Mac or a PC?
Oh, we're PC right now.
Okay. If your wife can help you, there's free software, which I think may have been posted on the Facebook page, but there, at least for the time being to help you, is free software that you can download that will read the computer screen to you.
Right. Are we talking JAWS?
No, it's similar to JAWS. JAWS, I believe, is what, $1,800 roughly, or maybe more. I don't know the price.
Right.
But you have NVDA.
Right. Well, that's good to know.
Okay.
Well,
yeah.
I really got called in. Pardon me.
That's all right. Yeah. Well, Bill, you said you're going to get an iPhone. This is Maria Johnson. I'm also affected. You said you're getting an iPhone tomorrow. Really, really, that is going to become your best friend. And all of us who are affected by iPhones, we can't live without them. You will be able to do everything that anyone else can do on your phone. Trust us, and I'm speaking for some of us, when we say you're going to be able to email, you're going to be able to text, call people. You're going to be able to do all of that. And you aren't alone. And I'm so glad that you said that, because you're not. And there are, as Wayne would attest, there are people here who will be able to speak with you, plus Lisa's help. You're going to be in really, really good hands as far as the LHON community. It's a wonderful group of people. And I, speaking for myself, I could not have made it 4 years without the people in this group. So the fact that you're on this call tonight and you're, you know, just been diagnosed for a month, is a huge step in the right direction, and you're in the right place. And everyone would agree with that. You're in the right place, and please stay on the call. Listen to what other people have to say. You know, we've got a little more time on the call. You know, stay on and just listen, and, you know, some things some other people might say might help you. And, you know, we're really, really happy that you're here, Bill, and, you know, thanks for calling.
Hey, Maria, make sure you tell them this is the first Wednesday of every month.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll definitely say that. Yeah, these calls happen every month. So there's an opportunity to call in and speak with other people and listen to these guests that we have that, you know, usually are affected, or we've had carriers, we've had moms, dads on before that, you know, you learn from. But then you never know where the call will take us. We sometimes get onto technology. Sometimes it's about coping. Sometimes it's, you know, about audio description. You know, it can go any way. So you never know what you're going to get because it is a live call. So, you know, but I just want to say thank you for speaking up, because that's what this call's here for. And Lissa and your wife can get connected, I'm telling you, you're gonna be flooded with information that you need. Okay.
Well, thank you, and you know, I feel better now than I did before I called.
Good. And you know what? It is emotional, and it's, you know what? It's normal, and it's healthy, and it's just the way it is. So there's nothing wrong with that at all. We've all been there, and we still go there. As Jeff even said, we still go there.
That's right.
But you know, yeah. After a while, you know, those really hard days get less. And I know that's hard to believe now, but again, speaking from experience, I can say, and other people can say too, you know, we have Chris, we have Stacy, we have Wayne, we have so many people on the line who would agree, it's difficult in the beginning, and there's no doubt about that. But as time passes, and it will, the sun will shine, and you'll smile more, and the days won't seem so bad. I know that's really hard to know now. Trust me, I didn't believe anybody, but it does. So that you're here is huge, huge. So, Bill, thank you, and thank your wife for getting you on here, really.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're absolutely welcome.
Thanks, Bill.
Is there anyone else who wants to speak up on, you know, if they have any questions, anything they want to share?
This is Jim. Am I audible?
Yes, you are. In fact, I should unmute at this point.
Actually, I'm Jim.
Go ahead, Jim.
That's a joke. I'm going to let Bill know when he goes to the Apple Store.
The conference has been unmuted.
Just for him to make sure that say to them, show me how to use a voiceover. The geniuses at the Apple Store should know how to use a voiceover. At least one of them should. You know, if they have an iPhone and just have it, and this one needs to show them just the voiceover basics. If he just remembers that, go to Marlon and say, can you show me a voiceover?
Yeah, that's an accessibility feature that's built into the iPhone. And Jim is like our resident tech guru. he knows so much, Jim, and thank you for bringing that up. VoiceOver is an accessibility feature in the phone, and it's going to be a keyword for you. And you sit there and you wait till somebody comes over and shows you how to use VoiceOver. Say, I'm not leaving. Thank you, Jim. That was a great, you know, tip to get him started. I have unmuted the call. Go ahead. I have unmuted. Go ahead.
This is Howard again. When you go to the Apple Store tomorrow, ask them for the telephone number for the accessibility department at Apple. They have a separate department dedicated to helping people with accessibility on the iPhone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good one. Yeah, we're throwing a lot at you, Bill.
Whoa.
This is Chris. I looked on the Apple, I don't know, I went to two Apple workshops that were designed to help low vision folks like us. And I went to both two of these workshops. They were an hour long, and unfortunately, one of these workshops, I was the only person who showed up. So I had one-on-one, two people helping me one-on-one at a workshop working with my iPad and my Apple phone. And it was fantastic. I got all this one-on-one experience with them to help me with apps and updating all these latest features. And so I contacted Apple and found out when there was going to be these workshops with for low vision folks. And this is, I think, some good advice. If you could attend a, once you purchase your iPhone or iPad, Apple provides these workshops, if you will, for low vision. So that might be something that would be helpful to you. And Bill, I got to say that I was affected at age 64. My first year was not such a good year, and I'm now 3 days away from turning 70, which I hate to admit. And I've come a long way, and I agree with everything Maria said to you. The sun is shining now, and you got to believe that things do get better, and I do have so much hope in my heart that there's so much research being done now that I'm not sure I'll see it in my lifetime, but I do believe that for my children and grandson that there and others out there that there is going to be a bright future. So I just want to pass that on to you, and I'd be happy to talk to you anytime. Lisa could pass on my information to you because at our age, it's difficult at any age, needless to say, but I'd be happy to speak with you.
Oh.
Hi, Bill. My name is Ida. I also live in Canada.
Oh.
And, yeah, and like you, I was diagnosed at 67. And, I like Chris, I hate to admit, I'm now 71. But that first year, there's so much to learn, and everything is overwhelming, and I hear you. Just learning about the diagnosis, adjusting, and you know what? I'm still adjusting. Like Maria said, there are good days and there are bad days. But have you been in touch with the CNIB?
Oh, am I muted or am I live still?
Oh, we can hear you.
August 25th, I was declared legally blind in Canada.
Right.
And so they sent me over to the CNIB, and I got a cane, and I got a magnifying glass so I can read the newspaper, which I can't read anymore. And,
Did you get some mobility training on setup?
They're limited.
They are very limited. Mm-hmm. But I actually did have someone through the CNIB who did teach me some skills on the iPhone. Because like everyone else, I did have to go to the Apple store and buy a phone. But I was fortunate. There was a young woman from the CNIB who did teach me, some basics and then the Apple store as well. But I'd be glad to talk to you because I also live in Canada, so perhaps the system here is a little bit different than in the States.
Thing being at the Apple Store, they go so far, but they're overwhelmed.
They are, and they're always very, very busy, I find.
It's noisier than a saloon.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I found.
I'm going to pop by tomorrow, and it's going to be my fourth kick of the can. But, voiceover, and the biggest thing is I have to get rid of this isolation. You know, I mean, I can't make a phone call. Mm-hmm. I can't drive. You know, I mean, I'm looking at all the negatives.
It's overwhelming.
I've always been a positive person, but for God's sakes, I mean, I'm mean, I can't even take away my empties to the bottle depot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's somebody out there will help me.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I mean, you just had, what, three people speak up and say, you know, you can have my number, you know? Yeah, it is hard.
It's really
hard.
And especially as we're older, I think it's a little bit different perhaps when somebody gets a young age. We have a different attitude, a different get up and go.
That's funny you mention that because I go every second or third Wednesday to this men's group, and I'd say all of them have been blind for two to forever. You know, and for mine, come on so fast.
That's right.
I thought I'd get a little more support because, you know, I'm dealing with anxiety and depression, and it just never, you know, more, there's stuff there that you're there, you know, and it's somewhere to go and somewhere to talk to, but in the same sense, there's issues that I have to take care of.
I like that you have that. I think it's great that you have that. And what you'll find, Bill, is being in different support groups and being around other folks who are blind, you know, there's such a variety. And there's people born blind, people blind, you know, for 4 years, 40 years. And, you know, they all kind of have a different attitude about it because of the length of time they have been blind. And I think that just even being able to talk to someone who understands what it's like is very, very helpful. And, you know, the anxiety and the depression, I bet almost everybody on this call could raise their hand and say, yep.
My hand's
raised. Everyone's hands are, you know, who's, say I. Because we can't see your hands are raised. Okay. So, you know, and like everyone, plus that first year, it was awful. It was absolutely awful. But like Ida said and Chris said and Howard sounds pretty like a pretty strong guy in New York, Wayne and Jeff, we're all still here. We made it somehow. And, you know, I was up at Kid 49, and I kept saying to my kids, I'm an old dog. I can't learn all this new stuff. This is hard. I can't learn it. And you know what? But we had to. We don't have a choice. This is the new path. And you will be connected with the outside world. And when you said the isolation, you will.
New normal.
And everyone, again, it is Wayne Perfect. It is your new normal, and it just is. But you know what? You can be super angry about it, but it's being angry at LHON. You've done nothing wrong, and
your quality of life will be a lot better.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're going to here is I just have to rewire my brain. You know, and I'm serious because they've done so much work, and I've talked to all these neurologists. You know, I was in the hospital, a neurologist popped by, and of course, I like to go on and on about things, and, you know, 10 years of biology and addictions and stuff, but he was saying, yeah, it's true, you know, you just have to go about things, and there's ways you can rewire your brain, believe it or not. I just hope I can do it, but I'm 67, and the clock's ticking.
Yeah. Well,
what power is your magnifier, Bill, that you read newspaper with?
I heard different things. It's it was good for me for a while, but it's kind of wound down. It's like at least seven times. I can't read fine print now in the newspaper, unfortunately. So I should get one of those CCTs.
CCTV
things.
Oh, yeah. Bill, that will make your life, because I have a CCTV, is it, Jeff? And that's how I read my mail. That's how I pay my bills. I work my work schedule. I use that every day. You'll love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Always good to read your Visa bill.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Sometimes I'd rather not.
There's anxiety right there.
Yeah.
No, this has been great. I never thought I'd do this, but it's going pretty good.
We're all here, and put that CCTV on
Santa's
wish list.
Just make sure you email Lisa.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes. Okay. Have your wife email Lissa, like Wayne said, and Lissa is going to get you connected with folks who you can talk to and support you in many different ways. So it's all good. You're amongst family, if that may not make sense to you now, but we are.
All right.
Now, is there anyone else who wants say anything?
Yeah, this is
all your time.
This is
you're welcome,
from,
Bill.
From
Canada? Who is this?
James from Canada.
Hey, James. How are you?
Pretty good. Just feel free to connect me with Bill. I would love to chat with him another day too.
Yeah.
Terrific. We have another Canadian there for you, Bill.
All right.
I'm a little bit younger, so it's all right. But.
Hey, you've been
through
it.
James, this is Jeff. Marie and I were talking about you the other day.
Is this James?
Yeah, James, yeah.
James, hey, buddy.
James, hey, Wayne.
This is Lisa, Jeff's sister. I was on the call the whole time, too.
Yay.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'm glad you were on, Lisa.
It was the greatest thing, connecting with this group and getting him involved.
It was.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thank Lisa all the time for getting me involved, so.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've heard the story before where it's a family member that finds the community, and then all of a sudden it's I almost said the world's on fire. I shouldn't say that. I live in California. It's like it sets everything ablaze. By the way, you guys, we just had an earthquake here in California as well. So Mother Nature is really mad at California. I don't know what's going on. We had 5 minutes before the phone call, my house shook, and it was a 4.2 just east of San Diego.
Wow.
So, yeah, maybe California's just going to shrivel up and go into the ocean. I don't know. But, it's pretty bad out here.
So happy you're safe.
Yeah, Mother Nature is pissed. But I forgot what I was going to say now. So, Lisa being on, and it's usually a lot of times it is a family member that gets the affected connected. And like Jeff has said, and now Bill knows, it's the best move you can make is putting yourself into the community, kind of whether you want to or not. It's the best place for you.
I want to touch on it again. The conference really, really, no pun intended, really opened my eyes to a whole nother part of, the LHON group. You know, yes, you can talk to people on Facebook or, talk to them in emails, whatever, but go to the conference and actually meet them and go, listen to what the doctors have to say, and the session it's a great thing.
Yeah. And James, it was James's first conference as well, and I think he kind of felt the same way. It was like, whoa,
both you guys just slipped in just in time, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like a time for the conference.
Yeah. It was awesome. So there will be, for those of you who aren't sure when the next conference is, might as well throw that out now. It is the last weekend of June, and Lisa can tell me the dates because I forget, in Nashville, Tennessee. And Lisa, could you pop in with the dates? Because I'm forgetting.
Yeah, I'm taking myself off mute. Sorry. It's going to be on the June 28th and 29th, and the format is different than what we've had before. So on Thursday the 28th, we'll do the meet and greet late morning. We'll have lunch together, and we'll do an afternoon session. And then on Friday the 29th, we'll have a morning session. And then people can decide if they want to continue on and sort of be a part of the full UMDF conference that continues through Friday afternoon and Saturday, or if they just want to do the LHON piece of it. So the core of it, the LHON part, is the late on the 28th and early on the 29th.
Hotel accommodations go
out? It's at the Sheraton Music City. And I think next month or so is when the UMDF will open up reservations. They'll have a room block with a special rate during the time period, you know, of the conference and a couple of days before and after.
You'll let us know about that?
Yeah, for anyone that's on the, if you don't get the email telling about these calls, then you need to contact me through Facebook or through an email so I can get you added to the list. But, yeah, pretty much starting next month through June, every one of the emails will not only talk about the monthly call, but it'll talk about conference and start saying, okay, the hotel block's open, and then when registration for the conference opens up, I'll start talking about that, and I'll put it in the Facebook group, hopefully enough that everybody sees it and not so much that I make everybody sick of seeing it. Whatever that middle road is, that's what we'll try and do.
Yeah. It'll be out there. You'll see it for sure. Definitely. Well, it's getting to almost the end of our hour, and we like to keep it to an hour. We know it gets late on the East Coast there, and the West Coast is usually hungry. So what I want to do is just kind of start to wrap it up. But what it's been kind of a neat thing, is that I'm going to take the call off recording, and then it's going to be a time where people can hang on the line. And it's kind of like an after the call time. And if there's anyone who's on the call that's new or thought maybe, you know, their question wasn't, you know, important enough, or which there's no unimportant or dumb question, and they want to speak up not on the recording, there's going to be an opportunity to do that. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap this call up. And as Jeff said, this call happens the first Wednesday of every month. So the next call will be January 3rd, if I'm right, 2018.
Yes,
perfect. January 3rd, 2018, so mark your calendars. And if you would like to be a guest speaker, you can contact myself, Jessica, and Angie on Facebook. Just send us messages or send an email to lhonlive@gmail.com. You know, we have a list going, but we're always adding to our list. So again, if you'd like to do what Jeff has done tonight, we'd love to hear your story. Until January, I'm going to say goodbye to all, and thank you for being on tonight's call, and I wish you all a happy holiday.
I'll be on the call for a while.
Terrific. Jeff will be on, so if you have one.
I was going to say something about my job, new job in a second here.
Okay, so hold on. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to stop the recording so we don't have to worry about that anymore. So if you'd like to hang on for a little longer, we'll be here. So hold on. I'm going to stop the recording.